All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, 2 weeks out from the draft edition of the show. And we got a lot of other things going on today, too, so it should be a fun one. We got two shows left pre-draft. I'll do one next Thursday, and the Thursday after that is the draft. I'm going to wait until Friday to do the show that week. But there's just so much going on right now. The Bucks make a couple of signings here in the past week since we last talked. Also, some teams, including the Bucks, saying they don't want to do the offseason training program. They're going to pass on that. Plenty as we are loaded up today. So thank you for joining us here on the free stretch on JoeBucksFan.com. And thanks to our sponsors, our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where, like always, you can go get yourself a brand new car. You can go get yourself a pre-owned car or truck or van or whatever. Used, you name it, they've got it. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check out all the inventory there. At that point, you can test drive something that they will bring to your house or office if you want to, or you can go to the lot itself, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Either way, whatever you end up buying, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. You're covered down the road years, as long as you're the one that bought the car and you're still the one that owns it from Bill Curry Ford. Bring it back in if you have engine trouble. You're covered at the service center. Roadside assistance, 10 years comes with it too. Oil changes, everything the first year is all taken care of. All those things are always the case at Bill Curry Ford. And like I said, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, and check out all the inventory. You can see it there without having to lift a finger. Well, actually, you literally will have to lift a finger because you're clicking the mouse, but you know what I mean. So anyway, first of all, I want to tell you guys about the big draft party coming up. It's going to be fun. It's going to be properly socially distanced, and it's 2 weeks. I'm doing this show on Thursday at 1 p.m. It's 2 weeks from this evening at Big Storm Brewing Company, our good friends who've been working with JoeBucksFan.com to provide awesome food, fun, and parties for a few years now. And this one's going to be a nice, like, kind of, hey, we're not all the way back yet, but we're getting back to normal. And the menu there is awesome, even if you're not, like, a beer person. Like, I'm not a big beer person, and it doesn't matter because they've got a huge menu, all kinds of great stuff. The Joes will be there. Ira Kaufman will be there. Of course, the draft starts at 8. The party's starting at 7. You can go to the website, JoeBucksFan.com, and check it out. Big Storm Brewing Company is the spot, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, just 2 weeks as we get ready for the Bucks, who will not be drafting a running back, I'm pretty certain, or at least not high, which I was a little worried about. And the reason for that is, I mean, let's give them a little round of applause, because they made a really good signing here with Giovanni Bernard this week. The Bengals had released him earlier, and the Bucks jump in, and this is exactly the type of running back signing I'm always talking about. This is how you get running backs, okay? So here's what the Bucks just did. I'm over the moon about this. We talked about pass-catching running backs. We talk all the time on this show about how running backs can be added from any variety of sources and provide the same value as drafting one at a high pick, which you should never do. And we know the Bucks needed a pass catcher. Here comes Giovanni Bernard, okay? He has caught 30-plus balls all 8 seasons in the NFL. And yes, he's been in the NFL 8 seasons. That's not a spring chicken, but when we're not talking about a 5-year contract. We're talking about, like, this year right now, 2021, well in his prime, no problem there. And even this past season, 59 times targeted, had 47 catches this past season. We had talked about James White and how that might be a good addition. He ended up staying with the Patriots. This is just as good, if not better. Doesn't hurt him much under the salary cap. He's got a $1 million cap number. And really, really good to add him to the mix with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. And still have Keyshawn Vaughn, so there's four right there. We're good to go. We're good to go. And even if they end up bringing back one of these other ones that haven't re-signed, LeSean McCoy's not coming back, but I guess Kenjon Barner or TJ Logan are still unsigned free agents. Hey, whatever. Have at it. I don't care. Point is, we just got a valuable player without spending capital, namely draft capital, to do it. And it's someone that can help them. So, you know, if you look at all the numbers, and we talked about it ad nauseum all season long, even as the Bucks were making a run to the Super Bowl, but the running backs catching passes out of the backfield was something that we could never quite get going. And it got better in the playoffs. In fact, Fournette in the playoffs did a pretty good job with it, as we didn't have any misses. But from the regular season, all the metrics as far as drop percentage, you know, targeted, catch percentage, whatever you want to call it, all those, the Bucs were either at or near the bottom as far as being able to use their running backs as pass catchers. So you keep two of the guys that were here, and now you bring in somebody else that can help with that. And not only pass catching, but pass protection. And here's where I was really happy, because the Giovanni Bernard signing was really good in this aspect. Bernard, okay, Pro Football Focus graded him out of 40 backs, had him as the seventh highest grade in pass blocking out of 70. So in the top 10% of running back pass blockers. And that compares with Ronald Jones, who was 44th out of 70, Leonard Fournette, who was 65th out of 70, and even our other target, James White, who we talked about, he was 66th, almost dead last. Bernard's in the top 10. That's really good. Like, that's a really good signing. That's a textbook. We need a running back. No, don't draft Travis Etienne. No, don't draft Najee Harris. Just do this. And it's the same. Maybe even better, okay? So really happy with the Bucs there. Like, I don't usually get... I'm not, you know, who knows, it may not work out at all. I mean, nobody knows anything, but like that's the type, that's the blueprint for how you're supposed to do this stuff. And I'm really happy to see the Bucs do it that way. And Bernard, he's a great person from all accounts. I mean, Greg Allman, the Bucs beat writer for The Athletic, was saying like other beat writers and people in Cincinnati were like calling him saying, yeah, Giovanni Bernard. And not that, I mean, that doesn't make you score a touchdown or anything like that, but it's just another good thing about the signing. So hats off. Good job by the Bucs to make that signing a little bit more under the radar, but not necessarily less important. They re-signed defensive lineman Steve McClendon. Okay, he's a good depth provider, and he was really good and really helped out a lot when Vita Vea was injured this past year. He comes back. Russ Cockrell at cornerback, started a couple games but played in 12 of the 16, also a special teams helper outer. He gets re-signed. All told, as the offseason continues to roll on and go well for the Bucs, they had 25 UFAs, unrestricted free agents, to start this whole thing off. They've now signed 13 of them back, 4 of them leaving. That leaves 8 unsigned, and of course the big one there is Antonio Brown, still, I guess, you know, a no-news type of thing, or maybe he's waiting and seeing until after the draft how things go for different teams. But he's still out there. Both of their backup quarterbacks, as of right now, are not signed, Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin. So, you know, that makes you wonder, hey, are they thinking quarterback in the draft, or will something happen here? Are they going to bring back Gabbert or whatever? So those two, a series of running backs, LeSean McCoy, Kenjon Barner, T.J. Logan, like I mentioned before, Deion Buchanan, Jack Sitchi, are the linebacker. So nothing huge is laying out there. Obviously, Antonio Brown is on everyone's mind as the only unsigned big name, but pretty good. Pretty good by the Bucs, and I really like the Bernard signing because that checks the boxes that they needed to get checked at that position, and they do it by going on the street and just getting somebody as opposed to spending valuable draft capital. And now they can square up 2 weeks from now, and as I said on last week's show, there's several directions they could go that would all be good. Cornerback depth probably needs to be addressed. Wouldn't mind that as the first round pick. Would never, ever, ever mind anything on the defensive front and anything on offensive line either. So go nuts, guys. See how it unfolds. See what's going on when you pick 32nd. But this is a really good job by the Buccaneers to get this done. And it really feels like, I mean, they're 22 deep on both sides of the ball. No real major weaknesses at this point. And even the one weakness that was maybe out there, which was the ability to use a running back as a pass catcher, now seems like it's been addressed too. So, I mean, you have to be happy with all that, and I am. And as a Bucs fan, you should be too. So that's all taken care of. Now we turn our attention to the draft, and then we'll turn our attention to the offseason program. Now, here's the thing. You know, the news, the other news this week, the non-transactional news this week, was that the Bucs are one of, it might have gone up since there's been a few teams, but there was 4 teams originally that said, hey, we're not going to do the off-season training program. We don't think it's safe. They've cited COVID. It's rushed. Last year, everything went fine without it. On and on and on. There's different ways of saying this. So let's go over this for a minute, because I don't think this is a huge thing or anything, but it is interesting to see how not just teams, but individual players will handle this. So the NFL announced their plans in a memo sent to all 32 teams yesterday, and yesterday was Wednesday. The league's offseason program for 2021 will be 9 weeks in total length. All portions of it voluntary. There's going to be one mandatory minicamp. So except for that, all portions of it voluntary. And that mandatory minicamp will be somewhere between May 24th and June 18th. And this memo was obtained by Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. The NFLPA, the Players Association, did not agree to it necessarily, but the NFL holds the right to just implement these things unilaterally. That's under the CBA. That's not out of their realm of, I mean, they can do that, basically, is what I'm saying. So the program begins with its first phase, starting as early as next week, April 19th through May 14th. That goes with virtual meetings, 2 hours a day, prohibits on-field drills and all that stuff. You can go to the weight room and team facility, but they have capacity limits with COVID. And they're also going to try and vaccinate people during that time. Second phase is in mid to late May. Then you can get some on-field drills. Third and final phase includes 10 days of traditional OTAs, full speed, non-contact, more meetings, blah, blah, blah. And there's still rookie mini camps and all that. So basically, now here are the four teams. On Tuesday and Wednesday, players from four teams, the Broncos, Seahawks, Bucks, and Lions, I know the Patriots said a few of their players, but not the whole team, are saying they're not going to do it either, said they would forego the offseason workouts. Now, there's these things called workout bonuses that some players have written into their contracts. Denver, I know, has 22 players like that, and a few of the teams, I'm not sure how many it is with the Bucks, but a few of these teams have guys with actual skin in the game as far as their workout bonus. But other than that, you don't really get paid for these workouts. So what about these boycotts, and what does it mean? First of all, let's address what the players are citing. They're citing COVID-19, saying that they think it's too rushed. They also are citing, and this is the real thing, I think, that we did all this last year. Nobody knew how it was going to go because we were on the dark side of the moon, never done this before. And last season then went and happened. And you tell me, how did last season look as far as the football that you guys saw? Like, as far as everything that happened on the field, the games, did it look any different to you? Because it did not to me. It looked exactly the same. There was no issue with any of the, you didn't watch the games and say, oh my gosh, there was no, it looks like these guys haven't practiced. I mean, there were several games where teams were closed down that week and played without having practiced in over a week, and I think they won. And then just the whole season in general, no preseason games, none of the offseason stuff, and it was completely and totally fine. So I think players are realizing that they have a small window here to try and point to that and maybe use that in an effort to make these things more normal going forward. Instead of going right back to the way things were before COVID, you could say, hey, so it's pretty obvious we don't really need to do all this stuff that you guys have been making us do all these years. So now that, you know, even if COVID comes and eventually goes, can we kind of keep doing it the way we did it this past year? Because we don't need this. And they're using, I don't want to accuse them of using COVID as a pawn, but it does kind of feel like, I mean, let's be honest here. When they say, oh, you know, it's not safe to go back and all these other things. If you're a person who is worried about COVID, I'm talking about an NFL player. If you're in the group of NFL players who is legitimately worried about workplace safety, given the pandemic, at this point, the vaccinations have been available at all age ranges for long enough now. And I know what's going on with the whole thing with Johnson & Johnson. And I'm not getting into that right now. My point is just in general, it's been out there long enough where you have had time to get vaccinated if that's important to you. And if it's not important to you, well, that's fine too. But my point is there shouldn't be any players who wish they were vaccinated but haven't been able to yet. And like I said just now, even if there are, they would be able to get that done at the team facility. So there's that. Then there's the other problem too that doesn't make it hold up. If you're an NFL player, they're going to work out somewhere. The team facilities have actually proven to be pretty safe places, and you're covered. You know, let's say you're running routes against air. You're not even hitting, and you stick your foot in the ground to cut, and you blow your patella tendon, okay? If that happens on the grassy field at One Buck Place over there on MLK, then you are completely 100% covered for your injury by the team as a player under contract. If you go a few miles down the road to Berkeley Prep in a private workout with Tom Brady, because he texted you that morning and said, hey, I'm Tom Brady, I'm your team leader, and I'm counting on you to come out here to Berkeley Prep and go through these workouts, and you stick your foot in the ground while you're running around against air without any contact, and you blow your patella tendon, you are completely and utterly on your own, and they can even withhold your pay since you got hurt doing something outside of team activities officially. So, and here's the thing. The NFL's fine with these teams boycotting because I think they know at the end of the day there's just not enough unity amongst the players like there is amongst the 32 owners. First of all, there's only 32 owners and there's hundreds of players. Second of all, the owners have tons of money and always have that ability. At the end of the day, life is always about leverage. And at the end of the day, the NFL owners always have that leverage where, yeah, if push comes to shove, they can hit the nuke button and maybe lose a little money in the short term because I know they'll be okay long term, whereas any typical NFL player, it lives in the here and now and doesn't care about 5 years from now because they just need to get paid while they have their relatively short careers still active. So I know a lot, especially the veterans, are saying, hey, let's band together. Let's not do these offseason things. This is how we're going to make our point. This is how we're going to convince them that they have to change things. Meanwhile, what do the NFL owners know? And they've already had players calling, okay, saying, hey, man, like, seriously, DL, don't tell anybody. Like, but if my team says we're opting out, can I still come in? Because what if you're a rookie or a first or second year guy and you've been a backup, or you're one of these guys that floats back and forth between the practice squad and the active roster? Not one of the high-paid veterans, not one of the guys who's vested, not one of the guys who knows they've got a spot on the 53 no matter what. One of the other guys, what are you thinking? Hey, if all these guys skip camp, maybe I can just show up, and me just being one of the only guys there gives me a huge leg up for a roster spot. That's what I would do. It's not being a scab or crossing the picket line. I mean, it's not an official lockout or anything. It's just, you know, or an official strike. But you can't get all these guys to pull on the same rope because they're competing with each other for spots. And the veterans are going to be like, yeah, let's just not do any of this because they just want to show up and be the starting whatever. But, you know, a special teams guy or a practice squad guy or somebody who really, really wants to make the team, he might be like, Yeah, man. Solidarity, dude. Like, hitting his chest. Like, yeah, we're going to skip. And then as soon as he gets away from his buddies, his teammates, he goes on the phone to his agent. But hey, can I still go into One Buck Place if I want to? Because I want my position coach to see me over there working out when nobody else is working out with me. I'm going to go out there and run some routes. Like, I'm going to do it right in front of those windows the coaches have in their offices that overlook the practice field. I want to run some really badass routes. And even though I'm the number 6 receiver on this team, if numbers 1 through 5 aren't here, maybe I can go up to like number 4 or something. You know, like, that's just little things like that. Of course you do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think it's an overblown story. And I'm not criticizing the players. I get it. I mean, they have to try what they can try. But at the end of the day, look, the owners, I think, will work with them a little bit. I think there do need to be changes to the offseason program. You know, being a pro athlete, which I've never been, it seems like a completely just nirvana-like existence, right? Like, your whole job is to stay in shape, play a sport. You get, you know, half the year there's the season, but then the other half of the year you can do whatever you want except for a few weeks, and you just work out all day and, you know, ride around in your car. I think, you know, like the TV show Ballers on HBO, like, that's how I think of it. Like, hey, I've got tons of money. It's my job to be jacked and in shape, bank chicks, ball out. Like, that's my job, right? And it sounds awesome. But there's lots of pressure. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I know it's not easy. And so I get that these guys, especially in a sport like football, as rough as it is, and we're starting to learn now that, and this is not just football, and life in general. I mean, COVID's going to change a lot of things even after it's over, and it will be over. And some things will change for the better, but I think we've done things certain ways for so long. I'm not talking about anything specific now. I'm talking about in general. But we've got a very puritanical idea of work ethic in our society that's, you know, beaten into us from youth. I'm not saying it's all bad. I mean, hard work is good. But I think a lot of times we think if something's not hard, that means we didn't work hard enough. Even if the work we did isn't actually achieving much, we just like to jerk ourselves off over how hard we worked. And the phrase work smarter, not harder comes to mind. That doesn't mean, oh, hey, I don't need to practice. Let's just never practice. But yeah, do we need all these preseason games? We know we don't. Do we need all these practices? Do we need to hit? Remember when people saying, oh my God, if they don't hit in practice, how are they going to know how to tackle in the games? You're going to see awful, sloppy, blah, blah. And listen, I'm not saying tackling is a perfect thing, and I've never played in the NFL, but practicing tackling just hurts, okay? It doesn't make you, like, better at tackling. It makes you hurt more the next time you're supposed to tackle someone. Whereas, and plus, it's a very psychological thing, hitting people. Like, hitting in football, or at least this is me talking now. I'm not speaking for an NFL player. Maybe they'd say something different. Just speaking for me, going back to when I played in high school and when I played in semi-pro as recently as a couple years ago, which I'm not claiming means anything, okay? I'm just saying. Hitting in a game, you're like, yeah, okay, it's a game. Like, I'm doing this for a reason. Hitting in practice, you're like, oh, God, really? Like, we're, you know, like, you, and it doesn't make you, like, it just makes you hurt more. Like, man, I'm hitting the game on Sunday, but, man, I got to hit these other few days, too. And so they don't do that really much anymore, right? Like, they used to have two-a-days. They stopped doing those. Everything was fine. They used to beat each other's ass in practice. Bama's, Oklahoma's. They stopped doing that. Everything's fine. Yeah, I complain sometimes when I watch an NFL game on TV, just like a lot of you probably do. When you see a guy, like, hurdle himself, like, shoulder and head first into a tackler instead of actually breaking down his hips, wrapping him up and trying to drop him. But I don't think that's, like, some sort of huge epidemic around the NFL. And I think you even saw that when guys did hit in practice. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that have changed, and then we realize after we change them, and sometimes we didn't change them on purpose, we changed them out of necessity. And then we realize after the fact, oh yeah, I guess that was fine all along. And I think this can be like that in a way. So, you know, the coaches love it, having everybody come in and do everything all the time. Bruce Arians was even saying, hey, if these guys don't want to do it, just make everything voluntary. Then the guys that can come in, and the guys that don't, don't. But I mean, it's not that simple, especially when you're competing for jobs. You know, and then you're trying to figure out, well, who's coming in? Is the guy I'm competing with coming in? Am I going to lose my job if I don't come in? Nothing is truly voluntary. Especially, like, imagine playing for Bill Belichick. Like, imagine you play for Bill Belichick and there is an optional practice, you know, tomorrow at 9. And you, it's Bill Belichick. Like, is that truly optional? Are you going to say, oh, yeah, coach, I skipped this? But, hey, not mandatory, right? So no big deal. I mean, you know as well as I do. I mean, nothing really truly feels optional. So you either have to have things or not have them. And the whole voluntary thing, to me, it puts players in a tough spot where, you know, you can schedule all these things, and they, to me, they'd have to feel like they have to go to all the... I would feel that way if it was me. So at the end of the day, this is really about rethinking what the offseason should look like in the NFL and trying to shine a light on some of the old processes and expose some of their flaws and make new processes. And the players should be trying to do that. I think the owners should try and work with them. But the idea that teams are afraid of COVID, you know, I don't really think that's true. Like I said, there's people that are, and if they are, they can get vaccinated. And if they're, if you're in that very narrow sliver of people who both is afraid of COVID, but also has whatever reservations you have about vaccinations, and I'm not getting into that either, but I'm saying, if you're in that very narrow sliver of people, then okay, I guess then you've got a legitimate thing where it's like, hey, I don't feel safe going in, but I also don't feel safe getting what vaccine, even though there's no reason to feel that way. If that's how you feel, okay, but that is not the bulk of NFL players, and that's not the impetus behind this. That's not the driving force behind this. So, you know, work smarter, not harder. Harder does not always equal better. And, you know, there's probably ways to get this all figured out, and they will get figured out. I'm not too worried about it. And if they want to go over to Berkeley Prep and we can fly and have the local news channels flying drones over Berkeley Prep or Jesuit while Tom Brady throws passes to people, both on the Bucs and not, because who cares? You know, it could be anybody. Then go for it. And in the meantime, if enough people opt out, I am willing to go to one Buck place and catch balls for, you know, the fourth string quarterback who actually is showing up for OTAs even while everybody else is at Berkeley Prep. If it gets that far down the trough, I'm just saying, I'm in shape. I will go run. You know, probably don't have the fast twitch, but I can probably break off a slant and, you know, a couple of dig routes and just give them a look. I'm available for that. So if it comes to that, I'm just saying. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at Bobby Game Day. And what else was there? Oh, there was one other thing I forgot. Okay, I read this earlier in the week. because this is the time of year when decisions are being made about how things are going to be and, you know, rules changes and other things. So no decision has been made yet on the lifting of the one helmet rule in the NFL, which, if you've got no idea what I'm talking about, I think most of you do. The one helmet rule is a rule that's been in place for several years now. I can't remember exactly when, but it states that each player can only have one helmet for the season. I guess because of concussions, or they think if a helmet is, you know, broken in and fit to your head and all that stuff, and it's safer than switching back and forth and trying on new and different helmets all the time. Okay, so fine. What has that meant? Well, if you remember, there used to be throwback games quite often in the NFL where teams would wear an old uniform or something. A team like the Bucks, for example, who has a pewter-colored helmet, but their old uniforms had a white helmet, the orange ones. So they could do that. And now they can't do that. You can pull the decals off of your helmet and put different ones on there if it's the same color. So some teams can maybe pull off a throwback look, but others where it's a completely different look and you need a new helmet, can't be done. So there's been a lot of momentum in recent years to change that rule, or to get rid of that rule, basically, so that teams can go back to wearing throwback uniforms and putting on a different helmet for just those weeks. No decision's been made on if they're going to do that or not. I've said this before, but I will say it again here now. And you know, if you listen to this show, how I feel about the old Bucks uniforms. Even though I like the way the Bucks uniforms look and I like the red and pewter, I wish they'd never changed. And to me, the white Bucko Bruce helmet, the orange jersey, and the white pants is the single most perfect sports uniform ever created by mankind. I believe that, okay? And even as someone who feels that way and who loved those few times they did the Bucko Bruce games, and I think they did four of them or three of them, and I loved it, okay? And as someone who is, you know, I mean, you cut me open, I still bleed that Buccaneer orange. That'll always be me. Always. Even 50 years from now. Okay? I'm against removing the one helmet rule without conditions, okay? And the biggest condition, if you're going to do this, it has to be written into the rule. The exception is only for throwback games, okay? So you can do your Bucko Bruce games, but here's what we don't want, because teams, you know how teams are and you know how people are with their ADD. They run wild with all, you give them, you know, 1 inch on the stupid idea rope, they're going to try and pull 1 mile of the stupid idea rope. Hey, let's wear a black helmet next week just because, hey, black's cool, right? This is how, you know, this is how certain people, I'm going to try not to call anybody any names. This is how certain people's brains work. And you see it in college football all the time. We don't want the NFL to turn into college football where every goddamn week there's a new helmet just because. Hey, let's wear anthracite. Hey, I know our colors are green and yellow. How about we wear these awesome, awesome, like steel metal, like gray helmets that don't go with our team colors at all? Let's just wear those because we think it looks cool. No, no, no. So again, fine with the one helmet rule being lifted only for throwbacks, and I would be very, very, I mean, I cannot stress it enough. That is the big condition. Otherwise, as much as I love the Bucko Bruce uniforms, if that ain't their uniform anymore, then oh well. But I, you know, because then you'll get teams saying, my favorite one is white helmets when your team helmet color isn't already white. Like, I'm a Gator fan. We've seen with the Gators have worn orange helmets, which is the iconic, that's their helmet. That's the only helmet they should wear. They've worn white helmets. They've worn blue helmets. They've done that, whatever that stupid-ass gator scale, you know, like the green, like gator skin thing. And every one of them was moronic and idiotic. But there's always those people online. If you go on Twitter, there's always those people, "Duh, dude, these are so fire, dude. Dude, oh my God, these are so freaking tight. How about that ice look, dude?" Like they'll put little, like some team comes out in all white. They'll put those little snowflake emojis. "Dude, we're going all ice tonight. This is such a cool look, man." And these people usually have IQs below 100, but that's not the point. There's a lot of them out there. And then there's always the people, "Dude, get with the times, man. You're too old-fashioned. Like, this is the new way," even though it's not. Like, everything like that that comes always eventually goes. And what endures instead? What never goes? The Packers uniforms, the Cowboys uniforms, the Bears uniforms, the Raiders. That's always, because it's the best look. It ain't about, there is no old school, new school. There's only what looks good and what doesn't. But whatever looks good or doesn't, I don't care about that as much. I care about consistency. I'd rather you have an ugly uniform that you wear every single week the worst thing you can do is change every week. Like I always say, you should be able to be like in a sports bar somewhere and there's a TV, maybe like only like a 24-inch TV, and it's 50 feet away. And from across the room, you look up at it, even though you can't even see the graphics on the screen, just seeing the two teams, you go, oh yeah, that's the Cowboys and the Bears. Like you just look at it, you know who it is. That's what a uniform is. And that's what a good uniform is. But in college football now, every week you look at it and you're like, who the hell is playing? The worst is the NBA. The NBA is completely off the rails. The NBA is going, like, they have these different editions of uniforms that have nothing to do with, they're not even throwbacks. They're just randomly designed and they seemingly come and go weekly. And you look at an NBA game on TV now, you have no idea who the home team is and who the road team is. And the white team should always be the home team. The team with their colors on should be the road team. But they switch that around. They go, what do they call it, City Edition? And it's just the dumbest thing in the world. And you, I mean, seriously, turn an NBA game on, I'll give you 10 seconds without looking at the little score box to try and tell me who the hell's playing. Half the time, you can't do it. So I don't care. As much as I love Bucko Bruce and the orange uniforms, if that opens the door to all this other crap, then I say I'll nuke all of it if it's me. Keep it the way it is. The NFL is a really good-looking league because the teams are dressed well. People make fun of all the little rules they have about sock height and all that stuff. But NFL teams look good. Like, you don't see guys, one guy's got high socks, one guy, they're starting to get looser on the socks now. But, you know, one guy's got high socks, one guy's got low socks. One guy tucks his jersey up under his pads and he's got that little back flap flapping out. Another guy's got, no, every person should look the same. Everyone in the uniform. They should have the same shoes. That's another thing. Shoes are part of the uniform. You watch, like, NBA games now or whatever. One guy's got neon yellow shoes that don't match the team colors at all. One guy's got white. One guy's got multicolor. No, I don't care what style shoe you. You can wear any shoe you want, but they should either be all, everybody on the team black, everybody on the team white. If you want to pick another color, fine, but every single person should have the same color shoes, same size. That's what a uniform, the word uniform, uni means one, one form, uniform, all right? And it's not an old school, new school thing. I'm not old fashioned. You're not cool while I'm behind the times. You're just an idiot who can't pay attention for more than 5 minutes at a time and look at the same uniform. So you want, you know, FSU broke out these black uniforms before. USF's got some god-awful highlighter yellow thing they wear. Some USF, you got no identity because they always wear a different thing. At least Florida State and Florida kind of stay, you know. And people say, oh, it's recruiting, dude. And who plays for the national title every year? Alabama, okay. Ohio State, who barely does this. Clemson, who barely does this. The teams that barely ever do this in college are the ones that always win every year, but yet you guys have yourselves convinced that these shitty mid-tier teams have to do what they have to do because of recruiting. It's the logic is completely out of whack and non-existent, but I know you guys will find reasons to justify it. And when I say you guys, I'm not talking to every single person out there. I'm talking just to the people. You know who you are, who think I'm an idiot and I'm old-fashioned for wanting teams to actually look like the teams they're supposed to look like. So anyway, that's the news on the one helmet rule rant over. And you can call me every name in the book. I don't care because I know that I'm right. And I know, well, I don't know. I hope that good will eventually prevail. But with uniforms, it seems like even if it takes longer than it needs to, it always does. The Bucks are an example of that. You know, what happened the past few years was not, it was very unfortunate. And yet I knew eventually it'd get fixed and it did. And here we are now. And hopefully we ride this for decades to come and everybody's happy and everybody looks good. In the meantime, that's the free stretch for the middle of April, 2021. One more show pre-draft next week, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the draft. Then two Thursdays from today is the draft. Oh, man, my alarm went off right in the middle of my music. I'm dismissing it, but I don't want to recut. So there you go. There's our outro song. Everybody, back again. I really should have planned that better. I'll talk to you next week. You guys can email me if you got a problem with what I said or if you like what I said. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, get me at BobbyGameDay. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, JoeBucksFan.com. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'll be back next week. Have a fun, safe weekend. Enjoy yourselves. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.